Welcome to the Sydney Property Muppets podcast. My name is Kurt Lawther. I'm the real estate agent, and with me forever is
Chris Clark, the buyer's agent. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Oh, thank you, Chris. So welcome to you. Now, some of you may not have realised, but I've got some extra energy.
Well, and you're actually looking trim and trot, which is surprising for someone who's gone on a European holiday. Usually cheese, salami, these things.
Pasta and beer sorts. And...
You said a lot of walking.
A lot of walking. But in that time, Chris, with my company, my agent Tony, he's been on fire smashing deals left, right and centre.
He has.
Even to the point the week before I came back, he had an hour and 5 minute auction.
Yep.
On a property on Victoria Avenue in Chatswood.
Well, that's all about what we're going to dissect today, and our eye-popping, eye-watering
auction.
Sydney auction.
Except that's not the auction we're talking about.
Sorry. Oh, sorry.
Because the next Wednesday, which
I was back for,
we had an hour and 12 minute auction.
Just to beat them. Do you have any idea how many bids were done at either of these auctions?
There was...
Not volume of bids, was there? Talk about the first one.
The first one, there was lots. Like, I actually haven't counted, but there was plenty. The other one, there was probably the one we're going to talk about, maybe 25.
Okay, let's talk about it. So, bobs and bits and bobs and things. So, this is in Chatswood?
Yes, in Chatswood, a conservation property. This owner had bought it.
Just stop there. Conservation property, what does that mean?
It means that you've got to retain the facade of the front facade of the property.
Right.
So you can make changes to it as long as it complies with what council would like.
I feel like I've just taken your energy out by saying that you've lost your mojo. I'm like, what's conservation? I better get the detail. Okay, so somebody brought it how long ago?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. What did they do to it?
They popped a tenant in there and then they've gone and done some renovation. So the property's over 100 years old, but it is brand new inside.
How much does the renovations cost them? We're talking a million? What are we saying?
Oh, probably, we'll call it 250, 300.
$250,000, 300,000. Okay, so a facelift. In this day and market, maybe 20 years ago, that was a brand new house?
No, this was done proper.
Okay, this has done a good job.
We're talking fans underneath the house to make sure airflow was redone.
Okay.
Floorboards that were termite proof.
Okay.
Rejigged some rooms around, so there was actually an ensuite, so four bedrooms.
Okay, so some decent renovations going on. And then was the plan always to flip it this fast?
No, he's more of an opportunist.
So his plan was to flip it, but maybe not this fast.
Yeah, maybe not this fast.
Okay. Yep. So tell us what happened.
And so we started the campaign at 4.3. Auction campaign thought.
Started the auction campaign.
So I had an auction campaign at 4.3 million.
You're guiding 4.3.
Guiding 4.3.
Just get through this terminology.
Can't even get my words right.
Okay, guiding 4.3. But you obviously had all the certificates and everything because all this renovation's been done and it's all ready to go.
So the auction, the occupation certificate wasn't quite ready.
Right.
So, with our feedback from the campaign, and we ended up redoing another auction campaign, guided 4.6.
So, wait a second. So, just again, buyers who are listening to this, obviously, if you haven't got that, basically, the property can't be sold with a current property on top. Like, it can be sold
basically
without it. Basically, diminishes a lot of the value of the property and is just not worthwhile. So, it would scare a lot of buyers away. So, it would impact the sale price. You did the right thing by pulling the process, slowing it down, getting that certificate, and then.
And then,
I'm going to keep doing this, but I've just got to interject.
Yeah, no, I like it. Then we re-ran a second auction campaign with the guide at 4.6 million.
So why 4.3 to 4.6? What was the change there?
Just the feedback
from
the initial part and sort of where we thought the market was and what the property really was worth and sort of getting that feedback. We're like, 4.6 is...
Was there a big time difference between the first campaign and the second? Or was it
No, we basically just rolled it over.
Okay, that's cool. Okay, so you're rolling into 4.6.
4.6.
Guiding that.
The feedback where people are at, people don't like when agents underquote.
Correct.
So we try and be as accurate
you
as
do,
we can.
You do. You are good at that.
And we could have kept it at 4.3.
Yes.
4.6. Which then leads us to auction night, which you and I were having an interesting discussion off air, weren't we, Chris?
We paused it because we figured we'd get the juice here instead of earlier and I'll get the blowtorch out and vice versa. So yeah, tell us about auction night.
So it's a Wednesday night We had four people come. It was in Invaroon, so we had four parties that were bidding.
Right, four bidders.
Four bidders.
Right, in the auction room. Yep, go on.
That's correct. And we had made it very clear from the start that we're guiding 4.6.
Mm-hmm.
And the auction started. And what usually happens once the auction gets underway?
Not your auction. When there's not a buyer's agent there, I imagine there's crickets.
Absolute crickets. Everyone's just, no one wants to do it. And our auctioneer, which we gave the instructions, was like, let's start at 4.6. We've been guiding.
Yep.
4.6. You
should. It's interesting with a buyer's agent there or someone in the know. There's a statistic I've said before, 70% of auctions are won by the first bidder. So I always more often than not like to get in there early and just throw my weight around a little bit. But anyway, go on.
Yep. Long story short, then we had someone wanted to start the bidding process lower.
Yep. That's okay.
To feel, which we're thinking around the four, lowest 4.4, 4.5 would have been preferable.
You'd previously guided 4.3 even. So yeah. that may not have been palatable, but may have been acceptable. So where did this person start?
They wanted to start at four, which our
good on them.
Our auctioneer rejected.
Yeah, of course they're going to, but at the same time.
But unfortunately, because everyone was chirping crickets, and after speaking with the vendor, we decided just to get the auction campaign underway with the first bid at 4 million.
Oh, you did in the end?
We ended up taking it.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you took a bid of four. Okay. So first, but there's been some time. He's put out the four. Basically being told not acceptable, you've come back after 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
Probably not that long. It was probably like a couple minutes.
Okay, and he's thinking good of him, so he's going, well, I've got this for 4 million now.
He knew from the start that he wasn't going to get it at four, but we thought we're here, we'll start. What it does mean is the agents, including ourselves, need to be on our game to, for example, minimum bids of $50,000.
From that point, okay. Did that happen?
Yes, that did happen for a bit. Now, this is where we were having the discussion is sometimes the real estate part of me also gets taken out of it. And I'm also like, we're guiding 4.6. Start around that.
Yep. Yeah, that makes sense. Whereas I look at it going, every buyer sort of indicated or during the process, 4.6 seems to be palatable, acceptable. But like most agents, not all agents, we don't all have to be truthful and honest, and buyers want a good price. And I get the frustration of having an hour, 12-minute campaign.
Well, it just comes from me where I'm just like, we could have saved at least 50 minutes.
So you didn't have to have an auction. You decided to have an auction. If you wanted it above 4.6, if that's the number it needed to be, why didn't you do a for sale price?
Because it allows the opportunity for us to potentially get more.
Yep, so it opens up the opportunity to get more, but you have to also, where it opens up the risk that you can get less.
But we won't allow something that is unpalatable.
Sure, but it puts a time. I always think a campaign, an auction one, particularly with a date, not that you can't move and so forth, but it puts a deadline. It puts a target on your back to make sure it's delivered at that time, on that day, at that dance floor. You know, we can skip forward. Did you get 4.6 or above?
We got 20 grand shy.
So did you get 4.6 or above?
Well, sorry, I was answering with my answer.
You weren't, but yeah, go on.
Yeah, so we fell 20K short.
So sure, that tells you the property's not worth 4.6 because no one on the day paid that. Isn't that the biggest litmus test for what the property's value is and what you secure on that day was below 4.6? The property wasn't worth 4.6.
4.6, I want to say, was worth 4.6.
But it wasn't. No one paid that.
But 20K is basically...
Did you have another buyer around the corner that you just didn't get them involved?
Didn't get them involved. For me, the fact we fell 20K, I don't even say fell 20K short, but our guide,
number. Yeah.
It's for me, the starting at the 4 million mark, where if we had I think that's probably where, when we're having this discussion, I realised I didn't elocute, is that... buyers don't like when you underquote, and if we had kept it at 4.3, we started at 4, then we end up at 4.5 or 4.55,
yep,
4.6. People are frustrated that, wow, it's gone 300 grand over. And that's...
Yeah. No, I get that. I do think a bit of 4 million against a 4.6 is pretty... Yeah, I think even you would say it's quite unusual.
Yeah.
You know, you haven't probably had too many campaigns like that, but they're weird and wacky world. There's weird and wacky vendors, and there's weird and wacky buyers, and there's weird and wacky of everything. So.
Yeah. And so for us, and this is sort of where I want to then turn this
into
the podcast into, is that not all agents are created equal.
Mm.
And it's about, we were then put in the situation, as you say, creating an auction campaign allows for a property to sell above the guide because people do something crazy.
Yeah, provides the opportunity.
But it also means in a pressured situation, if things don't go to plan, that we had people that we knew had the money to spend, didn't start where we needed it to start. It's about that negotiation part and the agent working
with the room, with the parties and so forth. But as you just touched on there, you and these people in the room, I'm still confident, probably had more than that to spend, but not on that property. Right, just because an agent knows your budget, just knows how much you can spend, doesn't mean as a buyer, I've got 5 minutes to spend, so I'm going to fill 5 minutes in this property. You might go, I've got 5 minutes to spend, but I'm going to spend 4.5 in this property. And that's where the dance comes. And I think the work, I've seen the where agent earns their keep in particular, there's various other points, but in particular is that work on the dance floor. When the auction's happening, going back and connecting with each bidder and buyer and with the auctioneer and with the vendor and using their team to do so. It's when it works, and I'm more often seen it go well, it's impressive. It's really impressive.
Oh, it's not even the also the agents. It's also making sure you've got a great auctioneer to keep things flowing.
Yep.
And even at one stage where we had a couple of our agents, our two main agents, with our vendor, the auctioneer had actually gone inside. And then obviously I'm there, I had another agent, but us still trying to work. Even trying to keep the room lighthearted, just even throwing out some jokes sometimes just to be able to keep, it's all a bit of a dance.
Of course it is. I don't know. The last thing you want in an auction, I think, is, and I've been to auction loads before where, and you're 24, so probably unlike in this scenario, not many bystanders, but I've seen before where half of the auction, people are literally walking away.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the auction's gone so long, beyond what people think, or they can see the frustration, or they're just, they're not bidders. Your scenario is all four parties and there are bidders, but sometimes, when you're on the road at an auction with the neighbours, the bidders don't know who the other bidders are, and then all of a sudden they see half the audience walk away. They're like, oh, okay, so I'm just up against you and you and you.
And that's why also sometimes the tactic we held it in rooms on a Wednesday night, generally you're only going to get the people that are interested there.
More often than
because in that case, if we had been out the front of a house, people probably would have started walking away.
Yes.
Also, auctioneers have multiple auctions back to back.
Yep.
So it's all about that decision making, how you feel the campaign's going to go, and you knowing the buyers that are there, that there were a couple of buyers that just probably weren't pleasant to deal with. And that's our job to deal with.
We're pleasant to deal with. I think you used some other words prior to the podcast starting. Look, let's get back into topic. So it's eye popping because of what happened. Why are we saying this is eye watering? Was it you said there was somebody and some tears in their eyes, or was it the vendor? Oh,
the purchaser. There was a husband and wife who ended up purchasing it, and it's always funny that dynamic. One of the parties was pushing the other one.
Yep, happens. Say it many times.
And when they were going to sign the contract, the party, one of the parties was sort of looking at how much, because they've just spent, because it was a principal place, wasn't an investment. So it was their own hard-earned money going into it. So I think to sum up is that, to sum this up is that not all agents are created equal, and it's making sure you choose an agent, if you are selecting an agent, that is able to basically walk the talk.
Yep.
Able to dance on that dance floor when it comes to auctions and negotiations, and be able to handle many scenarios, and not everything goes to plan. And it's making sure you've got trust in your agent that they're able to deliver. Because at the end of the day, as much as my gripe with people starting,
just with people
not coming to the party, it basically we guided correctly. And
yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say,
I'm going to say you didn't guide correctly. That's okay. I'm going to say you guided 4.3, then guided 4.6, and you got less than 4.6. No, you didn't guide correctly. That's too harsh. Yeah, guides are really challenging. I know we're going again, we're meant to move on, but guides are really challenging because they are a guide. But I think most buyers, the anticipation of the way the Sydney market, and again, not you, but majority of it is guides a joke and it'll sell for 20% above that. Mm. So this unusual circumstance that doesn't sell above a guide is uncharacteristic. But as you said, I know you and Tony and all the guys have shared, typically are like 5%, you know, not the 20% fat that a lot of other agents provide. So let's move on because I know we can go through it all. I've got a change for the three quick cues I haven't told you about.
Oh.
So we get three quick cues. We get to ask three questions unprompted, a couple on the topic itself, and then one a bit more personal. I thought in the recent time, I thought what worked well is when one of us is sort of conducted through. So I'm going to rapid fire my three quick cues.
Ooh.
And then I'm going to get you to rapid fire your three back to me.
Hit it.
All right. Do you prefer auctions or for sale campaigns?
Auctions.
Didn't let me finish. Do you see yourself ever the potential one day auctioneering a property yourself?
No.
Okay. You'll come back from the trip, a nice little glow, and like I said, looking trim, trod, terrific. Which location did you take the best photo on your trip?
Florence,
okay. Can you share the photo? Can we put that in our...
Notes below.
I'll pop it in.
I'm going to hate it because I'll find one in Rome or something.
Florence.
All right, only Florence.
Your three quick years.
Okay. Do you like to bid first at auction? I know. I've already got the question written.
Yes. More often than not.
Do you prefer Saturday or Wednesday auctions?
Saturday.
And do you...
Good question, that one. Yeah.
How many steps what do you think my maximum step count was for a day in Italy?
Did you go to Venice?
No.
26,000. What was it?
I was probably around 23,000.
Pretty.
Actually, you know, it's probably my partner's step count because I've got larger legs and it was tracking off me.
Very good.
It's a bit of a different podcast today with a bit more of a discussion. Chris and I sort of...
Hot topic.
Different, sort of slightly different points of views, which...
Hope you've enjoyed it.
Yeah. Other than that, please like, subscribe, share to a friend, just one person, someone who you think would value this episode.
Means the world to us. Thanks for dropping by.